title of this entire sermon series, the title for where we're going for the next couple of weeks is Help My Unbelief. Help My Unbelief. If you're somebody who's watching right now and you believe, but mixed in with your belief, there's also some unbelief, then I want to preach to you for the next couple of weeks. If you're someone and you're like, I am optimistic, but there's also some pessimism mixed in with my optimism, I need you to help my pessimism. I want to preach to you for the next couple of weeks. If you're saying, I've got faith, I believe that God can do anything, but I've been through some disappointment, and I've been through some pain, and I've seen it not work out, and so I do believe. I can't just say that I doubt. I'm not a doubter. I believe. But mixed in with my belief, there's some unbelief. And I need you to help me to overcome my unbelief. Hey, Jesus, I actually need you to perform this miracle. I believe you enough, but I'm telling you right now, if I deal with one more blow, if I deal with one more piece of discouragement, I'm close to the edge, and I don't want to fall down into the abyss of disappointment and despair and unbelief. I believe, but I've been struggling with a demon-possessed son for years now, and I'm discouraged, and I've cried myself to sleep at night, and I believe, but I'm not going to front and fake and act like there's not some unbelief mixed in with all this belief. I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody real tonight. Come on. I wonder on a Wednesday night if you could be honest with me. Come on. Let me know in the chat. Can you be honest with me? Can you be honest just for a moment? And just can you admit, you know what, Pastor Manny? I do believe, but I also got some unbelief. I do believe. I do believe. I believe enough to come to church. I believe enough to tune in on a Wednesday night. I believe there's some belief left. But man, unbelief is fighting for my heart. Unbelief is fighting for my allegiance. Unbelief is fighting for my attention. Unbelief and belief are right here. And I'm at a fork in the road. Because Jesus, if you don't heal my son, I think I'm going to travel down the road of unbelief. But belief has gotten me to the point where I had enough belief to ask your disciples. And I had enough belief to ask you. And this is my last ditch effort. If this is you, then I'm preaching to you. If you've got a lot of unbelief and you've been struggling with disappointment and doubt, this is not a faith series for those who already have faith. Oh no, this is a faith series for those who are honest enough to admit, I kind of got faith, but I also got some unbelief. If that's you, oh boy, can you just raise your hand? Give me the hand raised emoji. Come on, give me the hand raised emoji. I want to know who I'm preaching to tonight. And I want to encourage you. I need you to stick with me for the next couple of weeks, because for the entire month of October, we are going to unpack Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, this dad, this father is gonna become the mascot for our sermon series, because I think that there are a lot of people who fall into this category of gray. So often in church, we make it black-white or pass-fail. You either have faith or you don't. But I've lived long enough, I've walked with God long enough to acknowledge this, that there's not just a black-white pass-fail. No, no, no. Actually, it's not pass-fail. You can have an A in faith. You could have grade A faith. You could have grade B faith. You could have a C minus faith. And I want to talk to those of you who maybe you believe. You believe that Jesus can heal. You believe that God can provide. You believe that God can do the miraculous, but you've also been through life. And so unbelief has kind of snuck its way in to your thoughts, into your feelings. I want to preach to you. So let's go to where we're, let's go to our passage for tonight. I'm the way that I've planned out the series is that I think that what's going to happen is that we're going to come back every week we're going to kind of talk about Mark chapter 9, but then on the last week of the series, okay? So I'm going to need you to stay with me all for every week of the series. On the very last week of the series, we're going to focus specifically on Mark chapter 9, on this father, and we're going to unpack his words, help my unbelief. But I've got to lay some groundwork so that by the time we come back to Mark chapter 9, we understand more about faith than we understand right now. So let's go to Matthew chapter 14, because in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus helps one of his disciples to overcome his unbelief. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start reading in verse 25, okay? Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage." I got to preach right there, okay? The first thing I've got to tell you, that if you are going to overcome your unbelief, if you are going to be someone who Jesus can actually help to overcome some unbelief, who a preacher or a pastor or a church is going to help you to overcome your unbelief, you got to first know this, that you've got to take courage. I need you to have an aggressive attitude. It doesn't say, hey, just wait to receive courage. No, the Bible doesn't say receive courage. It says take courage, which means you have agency. It means that you in your free will, it means that you in your power, you have to decide, I'm going to overcome my unbelief. No. I'm going to take courage. I'm going to get an aggressive attitude, and I am going to take courage. I'm going to take hold of courage, and I'm going to not let go until God blesses me, okay? First thing I need to tell you is that if you're just waiting to receive another outpouring of faith into your life, and you just think that waiting on God is a passive activity that doesn't require anything from you, then I got to burst your bubble, because you are going to have to take courage, all right? I need you to get an aggressive attitude when we think about taking faith, taking courage, taking back control of your life. You are going to have to decide that I am going to take back the reins of my faith. Okay, here we go. Take courage is what Jesus says. "It is I. Don't be afraid." Verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." So I need you to see this, okay? I need you to see this, okay? Jesus is walking out to them on the lake. Okay, Jesus on the water, okay? They're in a boat, okay? They are in a boat, and now Peter and Jesus have started a conversation, okay? And I like this conversation because Peter says to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, is that you?" "Yeah, it's me." "Hey, if it's you, if that's actually you, if it's you, I know how to prove whether or not that's you. If it's you, tell me to come out on the lake." Now we need to take inventory on this, okay? Because this actually doesn't make any sense, okay? This does not make sense. This has confused me, okay? Because let's think about this. Let's actually slow down and think about this passage of scripture. Peter says, "Hey, I know how to test whether or not that's actually Jesus. I know how to figure out whether or not the person who's saying they're Jesus is actually Jesus." Like, think about what kinds of things you would ask if you were wondering whether or not the person you were talking to is really the person that they say they are, right? Like, come on. Let's think about a security question on like a website where maybe you've forgotten your password, okay? Right? Like, we in our current culture, we have a way to figure out If the person trying to log in to a particular website is actually them. The security questions kind of go like this. What is your mama's maiden name, right? What city were you born in? What city did you meet your spouse? Okay, so think about the kind of questions that Peter could and should be asking Jesus. The questions that make sense to me are kind of like, hey, Jesus, let's go back to the boat. Let's go back to the boat. Okay, Peter's in the boat. Hey, Jesus. Yeah. Is that you out there or is that a ghost? No, it's me. It's Jesus. Okay, hey, if that's really you, like I need you to imagine Peter, okay? If that's really you, yo, Jesus, if that's really you, what do we eat for dinner two nights ago, right? That would have been a great question, right? If that's really you, if that's really you, tell me how you healed my mother-in-law, right? If that's really you, show me our favorite handshake. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that Peter could have said to prove whether or not that was actually Jesus. But what does Peter say? Peter says this, if it's you, oh yeah, I know. I know what Jesus would say. I know Jesus well enough to get the perfect security question for Jesus. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly how to prove whether or not that's Jesus, because if it's actually him, he's gonna tell me to get out of my comfort zone. If it's actually him, he's gonna push me to have more faith. If it's actually him, think about this. The man who knows Jesus almost better than anybody else has actually given us the best litmus test that we'll ever have for figuring out whether or not it's God or your flesh, God or your own imagination. Every single time you're confused about whether or not it's God or just you, God or just your own creativity, all you have to do is remember that Peter declares, hey, if it's Jesus, we'll always know, because we serve the kind of God who wants to share power with other people, who's not just content with hoarding power for himself. This isn't the kind of Jesus who just wants to walk on the water, but this is the kind of Jesus who is always calling other people to walk on the water as well. So what does Jesus say? He's like, hey, you'll always know that it's me, because I'm going to tell you to do what's impossible for you. I'm going to always talk to you and tell you to use your faith muscles. I need you to get this, because Peter has been walking with Jesus so long that Peter knows the exact way to tell whether or not it's Jesus or an imposter, Jesus or a ghost, Jesus or just his own imagination. And the test of whether or not you're actually talking to Jesus is that Jesus is gonna help your unbelief. Jesus is going to make you do things that help you overcome unbelief, because you cannot wallow in unbelief and follow Jesus at the same time. So Jesus is always gonna make you uncomfortable with your status quo. Jesus is always gonna make you uncomfortable with your comfort zone. Jesus is always gonna make you question the human limitations that you've placed on yourself. If you're wondering whether or not it's Jesus, then you need to wonder whether or not the thing that you think is talking to you is asking you to have faith, because Jesus is always going to elicit your faith, and Jesus is going to require that you talk back to him in faith, and Jesus is going to require that you get out of the boat and that you practice some faith. You don't need to wonder whether or not it's Jesus, as long as Jesus is forcing you to do what you never wanted to do in the first place. Peter's like, hey, okay, let's go back to the boat. Peter's in the boat. Hey, Jesus, is that you? Yeah, it's me. Ah, how do I know if it's you? I know exactly how to tell if it's you. If it's you, I know you. If it's you, you won't be content with walking on the water alone. If it's you, you're going to make me walk on the water too. And so what does Jesus say? I love this. We got to go back over here. Okay, Jesus over here. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, come. Now get this. Jesus says one word. That's all Jesus says. Jesus says, come. See, I need to teach this to you. Because Jesus does not say, come on out here, Peter. Jesus doesn't say, come on, Matthew. Nope. Jesus doesn't say, come on, Thomas. Jesus doesn't say, come on, Bartholomew. Nope. Jesus doesn't say, come on out, Thaddeus. Nope. Jesus doesn't say, come on, Judas. Nope. Jesus gives an open invitation. Come. At that point, guess what? Matthew could have got out of the boat. Thomas could have got out of the boat. Thaddeus could have got out of the boat. Simon could have got out. Any of these dudes could have got out of the boat. But Peter is the only one who hears the word come and says, oh, he's talking to me. And tonight, I want to tell you something. Jesus rarely puts your name on the message that he's given you. You have to declare, oh, no. He's talking to me. Oh, Jesus is talking to me. When you're in church and there's 1,000 people in the room, you've got to be able to say, oh, I know exactly who he's talking to. He's talking to me. If you know that God is talking to you, can you just go ahead in the chat, say right now, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. Oh, no, I need you to assume that he's talking to you even when he fails to use your name. I know that God doesn't just put names on everything. He gives an open invitation because Jesus says this, him with ears to hear, let him hear. You got ears to hear? You won't just hear the word come. You'll hear, come on out here, Peter. Let's go. Peter didn't just hear, come. He heard, come on, Peter. Let's go. See, whether or not you exclude yourself or include yourself is indicative of the level of faith you have. See, I need you to get this. See, people who lack confidence are always gonna lack faith as well. People who lack confidence. See, the thing that I love about Peter is that Peter is a little presumptuous. Peter is always going to assume that God has pulled out the best seat for Peter. Peter almost oversteps boundaries so many times in the Gospels. And see, Jesus would rather have someone making aggressive fouls than no fouls at all. Yes, there are some times that Jesus is going to have to tell Peter to shut up. There's going to be some moments, especially in the Transfiguration, where God tells Peter to shut up. But guess what? At least Peter is giving God something to work with. Are you the kind of person that you struggle so much with low self-esteem that you have now been tricked by the enemy into calling low self-esteem humility? Can I tell you something? Humility is not low self-esteem. Actually, the boldness that it takes for Peter to hear the word come and to just assume, if he said come, he's talking to me. That level of presumption, that level of just confidence, God needs that. And for a lot of us, we actually have to do some inner healing with the Holy Spirit to even get to a level of confidence so that you can then have a level of faith. Because to have faith in Jesus but to not have faith in yourself is honestly not to have faith in Jesus. Because what did Jesus say? Jesus said for you to come. See, Jesus empowers humans. And so often I encounter so many Christians who they actually have a lot of faith in Jesus, but they struggle with unbelief when it comes to themselves. And I really want to hammer this home. Because tonight I want to preach to those of us who we actually are wallowing in insecurity, we're wallowing in self-doubt, and the enemy has tricked us and lied to us and told us that that's humility. That's not humility, my brother, my sister. Actually, the enemy is using that to keep you out of faith. If you want me to help you overcome your unbelief, can I tell you, step one is going to be to take courage. You can't blame other people. You can't rely on people giving you encouragement. You can't blame other people that you're discouraged. You're going to have to take courage. You can't bring victim mentality into a relationship with God and then blame him for why you don't have faith. Step one for helping to overcome unbelief is that you're going to have to take courage. You're going to have to take back your human agency and realize that you are in control. You are not a victim. The world doesn't happen to you. You happen to the world. Step two, you're going to have to assume, hey, even if there's no invitation with my name on it, I'm assuming that I'm invited. That takes courage, but that also takes confidence. Let's keep reading. I love that this miracle of Peter walking on the water, it starts with a conversation between Peter and Jesus. Come on, let's go back to the boat. Peter is in the boat, okay? He's like, hey! Guys, I think that's Jesus. I'm pretty sure that's Jesus. No, that's not Jesus. No way. That can't be Jesus. No, it's a ghost, man. It's a ghost. Thomas, be quiet. You always doubting, you know what I'm saying? And Judas, don't even talk, Judas, because you be stealing money, so just be quiet, you know what I'm saying? Jesus! Is that you? Yeah, it's me. Well, you know, the only way I'll know if it's really you is if you tell me to come. He said, come. I'm about to do this. Okay, here's what I love, is that the miracle starts with a conversation between Peter and Jesus. Because if you are going to overcome your unbelief, then you are going to have to learn how to tame your tongue. Family, the man in Mark chapter 9, what precedes his miracle is a conversation. And what precedes the miracle of Peter walking on the water is a conversation. It's funny because a couple of weeks ago, I was in Brazil. And Brazil is a beautiful country. I loved the time that I got to spend in Brazil. It was unbelievable. And while I was in Brazil, I was there for 2 whole weeks. And so the crew that I was, living with and doing ministry with, every day they would try to teach me some new phrases in Portuguese, So because I'm around people who are speaking Portuguese every day. So every day, I would say, bom dia, which is good morning. And someone who's fluent in Portuguese, they would say, no, not bom dia, bom dia, and then they would correct my Portuguese. And I realized that I needed someone who was fluent in Portuguese if I was going to ever learn how to speak Portuguese. The person who's learning Portuguese has to have a fluent Portuguese speaker, because the person who's speaking Portuguese fluently has to kind of train you on how to speak. And this is what we're going to do for the next couple of weeks, okay? Because I'm fluent in the language of faith. Because faith is a language. Before you walk in faith, you've got to start talking in faith. And see, when you say things like, oh, that'll never be me, somebody fluent in faith begins to say, did you just say that will never be you? Oh, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Did you just say, if you can heal? See, Jesus corrects the Father's language who approaches him about his son who's demon-possessed. I love that Peter and Jesus, they talk before Peter ever walks. Can I tell you something? If God is going to help you to overcome your unbelief, he's got to give you back your agency. You've got to take courage. He's got to restore to you some sense of self-worth. He's got to give you some confidence again. And then he's going to fix your tongue. He's going to fix your language. Because me and my wife got diagnosed with infertility 6 years ago. And I never said, never, it never came out of my mouth, yeah, me and my wife can't have kids, we're infertile. Nope. At best, I would say the doctors have diagnosed us with infertility, but at no point did I allow the enemy's prognosis and diagnosis to come out of my mouth, because we don't serve a God who looked at the darkness and said, "Ooh, it's dark," because what would have happened? It would have gotten darker. What did God do? He looked at the darkness and he said, "Let there be light." And we are the kind of people who we talk like people of faith. We are fluent in the language of faith. Oh, I know God can, and I know God will. We talk ourselves into circumstances that only faith can get us out of. We talk a big game. That's what it means to be in faith. We let our tongue get us in trouble. See, for most of us, you let your tongue lead you to safety. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know if God's called me. No, I don't know. No, God, not me. No, and you play the humble card and you play the victim card, and God is trying to get you to talk like someone who's got confidence, who's got agency, who's got faith. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can open up a door. I'm gonna be a father. I'm gonna be a mother. My child is blessed. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free. The blood of the Lamb has covered me. I declare a hedge of protection over me and over my household and over my possessions. I declare I walk in wealth. I declare I'm healthy from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. I declare that business is mine. I declare that home is mine. I declare that the God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills is gonna provide for me. We are fluent in the language of faith. Can you take an inventory of your words? What kind of things do you let come out of your mouth? Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, we can't afford that. Oh, no. Oh, we got to be realistic. How often is God trying to restore your agency, restore your confidence, and restore your language to you? But you are fluent in reason. You're fluent in logic. You're fluent in math. And throughout this sermon series, I'm going to try to get you fluent in faith. Fluent in faith. Okay, come on. Let's keep going. We got a couple minutes left. If this is blessing you, come on. Let me know in the chat. If this is blessing you, let me know in the chat. Okay? Let me know in the chat. I'm looking. Come on. If this is blessing you, say, "Oh, this is for me." This is for me. Give me an amen. Give me some fire emojis. Come on. If this is blessing you, let me know in the chat. Okay, come on. I see your comments. I see some comments. Okay, good. Come on. Give me some praise hands emojis. Give me some praise hands emojis in the chat. Okay. Come on. Let's go back to the boat. Okay. So, hey, Jesus. Hey, you. If it's you, I know what you're going to do. If it's you. If it's you, you're going to try to get me to do what you're doing. Because you're always trying to get us to do what you do. It's not enough that you did miracles. You want us to do miracles. It's not enough that you opened blinded eyes. You want us to open blinded eyes. It's not enough that you fed the 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. You want us to feed the multitude with 2 fish and 5 loaves. If it's you, I know the security question to get to confirm your identity. If it's you, you'll tell me to come. Come! Did you hear that? He said, come, okay. I've talked the talk, but now it's time to actually put faith in action. And Peter gets out of the boat, and the miraculous happens. Peter starts walking on water! Peter starts walking on the water. Now, this is crazy. I don't know if you've ever tried walking on water. I don't know if you've ever tried. Okay, I've tried. I have tried. I remember being a teenager, there was a massive pool in downtown Boston, okay? at the Mary Baker Eddy Museum, okay? It's where the Christian Scientists were founded. And I remember there's a massive reflection pool. Anybody who's from Boston, come on, if you're from Boston, let me know that you know where that is, okay? Don't let me hang it in this chat. If you're from Boston, tell me you know where I'm talking about. And I remember trying to walk on the water. Okay, I don't know if this impresses you, but this impresses me. It's water. Peter walks on water. And I preached this in the Good Ground series, so I won't belabor the point. But I think we're impressed that Jesus walked on water. But what does Jesus say? Jesus, after Peter sinks, he says, "You have little faith." Are you saying walking on water is a little faith? If walking on water is little faith, then we are all, okay, up a creek without a paddle, okay? If walking on water is little faith, then I don't know what kind of faith I have. But maybe we are impressed by Jesus walking on water because we're impressed from a human perspective. But maybe, just maybe, Peter walking on water is not that impressive to Jesus, because for God, for whom there is no level of difficulty, walking on water is actually not that hard. Therefore, it's not that impressive. Do you know that God could heal a paper cut with the same amount of energy that it takes him to heal cancer? See, because we're human, we see cancer as more difficult than a paper cut. But for the God who is omnipotent, for the God for whom there is no failure, for the God for whom he doesn't even lose or extend any energy because he is eternally self-sufficient, for the God who is infinite in his being, who does not gain or lose anything but does everything with the same ease, a paper cut and cancer is the same. And so this God is not impressed with Peter's ability to have faith. Ooh, what is this God impressed by? Not with Peter's ability to have faith, but with Peter's ability to keep faith. Can I tell you how God measures success when it comes to faith? Not by how impressive the thing was, but by how long you were able to do it. Baby, I can be faithful for a year. I can be faithful for 5 years. I can be faithful for 10 years. I don't just get full of faith for a moment. Oh, no, I'm not running sprints. I'm running a marathon. And God begins to say to people with persistent faith, with consistent faith, with stubborn faith, with faithful faith, oh, this is great faith. There's a lot of us who we can have faith for a minute, but we can only sustain faith for a small little while. But God is looking for people who can sustain faith month after month, year after year, decade after decade, season after season. And I want to preach to some people who don't just want to have faith, but want to keep faith. Now, let's keep moving. Peter's walking on the water, and it says that he sinks, that he hits a moment of failure. And I've got so many young adults who say things to me like, "Well, Pastor Manny, if I start tithing, are you guaranteeing that I'll keep a job? Or are you guaranteeing that I'll get a new job or I'll get a promotion?" And I say, whoa. I can't guarantee that you won't sink just because you exercise faith. See, because the opposite of faith is not fear. And I need an amen after I say this in the chat. Okay, I need an amen. Because the opposite of faith is not fear. The opposite of faith is certainty. And see, a lot of us, see, We don't actually have faith in God. We just think he's the most sure bet we'll ever find. And actually, you didn't faith your way into the kingdom. You reasoned your way in, and you realized, yeah, this makes sense. But God is always going to challenge your faith, because we are saved by grace through faith. He wants your faith. He wants you to believe in the impossible. He wants you to throw your calculator away. He wants you to believe that there are some illogical, unreasonable, ridiculous things that he wants to do in your life. And you cannot ask God, "Well, if I start tithing, will you guarantee that I'm always going to be blessed financially?" No, you could walk on the water and use your faith and still sink. I can't guarantee that the worst case scenario won't happen. I launched out in faith in December of 2019, full of faith that I was going to start the best evangelistic ministry the world has ever seen. January was awesome. February was dope. And then the world shut down because of a worldwide pandemic. My worst case scenario happened. And you know what I learned from it? Here we go. God doesn't guarantee that you won't sink, but he does guarantee that you won't drown. What does the Bible say? That immediately Jesus reaches out and grabs Peter and pulls Peter up out of the water. Oh, can I tell you what I can guarantee you? I cannot guarantee that you won't sink, but I can guarantee that you won't drown. And so Peter, he starts out at the boat, starts having a conversation with Jesus. The conversation inevitably leads to him walking by faith. He walks by faith. It says that he saw the wind, he got scared, and he failed. He had a moment of embarrassment, a moment of disappointment, a moment where now he's sinking. Jesus has pulled him up out of the water. And I set this entire sermon up to ask you this one question. How does Peter make it back to the boat? How does Peter get back to the boat? Because Peter has walked on the water. Peter has clearly gotten to Jesus. Peter has sank. He's been rescued by Jesus. But how do they get back to the boat? And I want to preach this in the last 5 minutes I've got, because I want to preach to somebody who's walked by faith. You have failed, you have sunk, and this moment of sinking has taken your life by storm. This moment of sinking has taken away your belief and has deposited some unbelief in you. This moment of sinking, you feel like it's final. But can I tell you something? That Peter doesn't walk on the water one time. Oh baby, Peter walks on the water two times, because Jesus does not give Peter a piggyback ride back to the boat. Jesus does not give Peter to carry him back to the boat. Jesus looks at Peter and says, hey, are you ready to do it again? Are you ready to walk on the water again? And I want to preach to someone who you've let your sinking moment define you. You have let your moment of failure become your identity. But tonight we rebuke every demonic assignment that has been sent from hell to rob you of your God-given identity. We declare over your life tonight, you are going to take courage. We declare over your life tonight that you are going to restore confidence. And we declare over your life tonight that you are not going to stay here in this moment of failure, but you are going to get yourself together. You are going to overcome your unbelief, and we're going back to the boat, because it's not enough to have faith one time. I want you to have faith again and again and again and again and again and again. But Pastor Manny, what if I sink again? Then God will rescue you again, and then you're gonna walk again. Peter didn't walk on the water once. Oh no, Peter walked on the water two times. It's funny, me and my wife, we were believing for a baby, and we were speaking by faith. Oh, I took courage. I took agency. I didn't just wait for God to do the miraculous. Oh, no, we went to the doctor. We sought medical treatment. We did everything we needed to do. We flew to Barbados, did IVF at one of the best fertility clinics in the world. Oh, no, we took courage. We took agency. I declared. I didn't even get a specific word from God. I just heard it. God just said, come. And I was like, yep, he talking to me, okay? I mean, we did everything by faith. And then we miraculously got pregnant. We had a conversation with God. We heard God challenge us to get out of the boat. We got out of the boat. We started walking by faith. And then we miraculously got pregnant. And then we go in for our first ultrasound with our miracle baby. And there's no heartbeat. And oh, it was the worst day of my life. I didn't even know what it meant when the nurses said there's no heartbeat. I was confused because, you know, I've never been in an ultrasound room before, and they said there's no heartbeat. I said, okay, should there be a heartbeat at this point in time? And then the nurse made it really clear. Said, your baby is dead. The baby's not alive. And I remember going home from the hospital, and I mean, I broke down. I mean, just tears. I mean, grown man cry, ugly cry, snot coming out my nose cry. And Tia would cry. I would hold her. I would cry. Tia would hold me. I mean, we were just broken. It felt like, why would God even tease us with a miracle if he couldn't sustain the miracle? Why would he let us walk on water if I was going to end up in this moment sinking in depression, sinking in doubt, sinking in unbelief? And I preach this whole message just to get here to tell you, if you're struggling with unbelief, oh, I know exactly how you feel. Because we used all of our faith. We mustered everything we had. We spent $15,000 just for a 30% chance of getting pregnant. We finally got pregnant. And then it felt like it got robbed from us. We walked on the water, and then all of a sudden, we were drowning. And I went, how did a miracle turn into drowning? How could something so miraculous turn into something so disappointing? And if you have ever walked by faith, risked by faith, talked by faith, and then had to deal with the reality of things not working out your way. Oh, I'm preaching to you. And I'm not preaching to you from my head. I'm preaching to you from my heart. And I remember a couple months go by, and my wife said, hey, I want to try IVF again. And as soon as she said that, oh, it triggered me. And I went, oh, I ain't trying that again. Oh, no. I ain't doing that again. No, I'm good. I'm good. We talked by faith. We sowed by faith. We walked by faith. And now we drowned. Do you remember we sank? And my wife said, in the middle of me saying, I wish we had never gotten pregnant because this hurts more than anything else, my wife said, well, at least now we know we can't get pregnant. See, we had never gotten this far. And if God did it one time, why won't God do it again? And I want to speak to somebody who you're stuck right here. And Jesus has rescued you. And now, like Peter, Jesus is saying, okay, you thought this was the end. But baby, this is not the end. You're only halfway to your miracle. This is not the end. This is not final. I need you to get up and walk back to the boat. Jesus, are you telling me that I've got to try to walk on water again in front of the same people who I just failed in front of? And Jesus looks at you and says, yes, because I've got to teach you that there's a difference between walking to me and walking with me. And this time, I'm going to walk with you step by step, moment by moment, inch by inch. We're going to get back to the boat. And if I had not mustered up the faith to walk on the water a second time, I wouldn't have a son right now who's 2 months old. I wouldn't have a little me staring back at me smiling every day. If I had stayed over there in the middle of failure, in the middle of disappointment, in the middle of pain, I know what that feels like, to sink and fail and drown and have to be rescued by Jesus and the disciples are laughing at you. I understand what that's like. But can I tell you right now, you have put a period where God has only put a comma. You have put an end where God has only said is halfway. I'm telling you right now, you were here to learn that there's a difference between walking to Jesus and walking with Jesus, and you're gonna walk on the water again, and the Holy Spirit is gonna help you to overcome your unbelief. If I'm preaching to you, I need you to let me know in the chat, this is for me, this is for me, this is for me. If I'm preaching to you, I need you to let me know in the chat, this is for me, this is for me, yep, this is for me. I need you to know, I need to know, I need to know who I'm talking to, I need to know who I'm talking to. Come on, this is for me, this is for me, this is for me. I'm about to pray for you. I need you to tell me, this is for me. I need you to pray, I need you to pray for me. Pastor May, this is for me. Come on, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. Come on, right now, Holy Ghost, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are watching this from all across the world. We declare that their faith is coming back online. We declare that their moment of failure does not define them. God, we can't preach faith without preaching grace. So I declare that we are saved by grace through faith. And if they have not been able to forgive themselves, we declare right now they're going to forgive themselves and they're going to come back into restored confidence, restored security in their relationship with you. God, we declare identity over their life. They are water walkers. They are faith walkers. We declare over their life right now that the devil is silenced, that the voice of the enemy is silenced in their life, and we circumcise their ears to hear you and to hear you only. God, we pray right now by faith that in faith we look at our future and we see that we're going to get back to the boat. And we declare that by faith. We declare it is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, come on. Say amen in the chat. Oh, come on. Light up the chat. Give me an amen. Give me an amen. Give me an amen. Give me an amen. Hey, I want to do one more thing. It's not enough just to hear the word. I want you to sow. I remember in the middle of battling with our miscarriage, and man, my emotions were raw. I was angry at God. I was angry at almost every worship song we sang. I was bitter. I was annoyed. I was mad. I'd never been hurt like that in my life. And I remember just feeling discouraged. And then I came here on a Friday night. We were doing like a special live stream worship service. And my friend Brian, he started preaching about the faith that he had for his children. And my friend Brian doesn't really share that often about his battle, him and his wife's battle with infertility. I know their story because I walked with them through it because he's one of my best friends. But he doesn't really share a lot about that from the stage. And so he, in a rare moment, began to say these words. He said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I taught my daughter how to ride a bike. And he said, everybody saw my daughter on a bike, but I didn't see a girl on a bike. I saw my words on a bike. And for the first time since our miscarriage, I began to prophesy and speak my son into existence. Oh, I was here, guys. I was wet, soaked, pissed that I had fallen into the water. I mean, angry. And I remember Brian spoke a word. He was only on stage for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. He spoke a word, and it restored my faith. If I've said something tonight that has restored your faith, I want you to sow financially, because that's exactly what I did. In this sanctuary, over a year ago, we had been through a miscarriage. I heard Brian, and I immediately sowed. I immediately began to realize I can't just hear a word. I have to sow into the word that I heard. I'm not joking with you. Within 7 days of me sowing that seed, random people begin to reach out to me and my wife and say, we want to cover half of your IVF costs the next time you do it. Hey, we want to cover the other half of your IVF costs the next time you do it. Between the day that I sowed and between that day and the next week, we had almost $10,000 ready to do IVF again. Because whatever looks impossible with man is possible with God. I don't tell you that story to manipulate you. I don't need your money. This church doesn't need your money, and God doesn't need your money. I tell you that story so that you will act out in a principle. And that principle is that God's word is a seed. And whenever somebody sows the seed of faith into your life, then you take physical seed. Money is also a seed. So you match seed with seed. If somebody is releasing a word of faith into your life, and that faith becomes a seed that you want to see grow 30, 60, and 100-fold, then that means you take your wallet, you take your phone, you take whatever you can, and you get a seed of some finances in your hand, and you sow back. Because if you want a prophet's reward, then you have to sow in to the word that that prophet has released. I want to prophesy over your life. This is not the end. I want to prophesy over your life. You are going to walk on the water a second time. I want to prophesy over your life. Yep, the business failed, but God's going to restore it. I want to prophesy over your life. The marriage failed, but I want to prophesy a word of restoration. Your latter will be greater than your former. We declare right now over your life, I pronounce blessing over your life. It doesn't matter where you're streaming this from, where you're watching this from, and if you receive the prophetic word that I'm releasing over your life tonight, go ahead and say, I receive it, I receive it, I receive it, and let me know that you're sowing financially in faith. There are prompts on the screen that will guide you in exactly how to sow your seed. I want to pray over your offering tonight. God, I thank you for every gift, for every giver. God, I thank you that right now, by faith, you're fixing things in people's lives. You're rearranging things in people's lives. We declare right now, not in the flesh, but in faith, that it's already done. Because of the finished work of Calvary, we declare that healing is already done, blessing is already done, provision is already done. God, we thank you for it in advance, and we thank you for supernatural exponential growth in every area of our life, especially those areas that we're believing you for by faith. I even feel like the Holy Spirit is saying there's somebody watching, you're struggling with infertility. As you sow tonight, I declare right now that God is going to give you everything that you need, the right doctors, the right medical team, that he's going to do a miracle in you and your family's life, you and your wife's life. I declare right now, godly seed is going to come. Godly offspring is going to come from you and your wife's union. I declare that over your life right now. World Overcomers, man, family, we've had a good night tonight. I hope that you're leaving this service with more faith than you came in with. I'll meet you right here next Wednesday night. Make sure that you're here for week two of Help My Unbelief. I love you. And I won't be here Sunday, but I hope you tune in on Sunday. But I'll see you here next Wednesday. Till next time, family. Peace.